strengthened by the full preservation of her work. As it is, added to the longing which all great art inspires, we have the longing inspired by suggestion. That lovely figure belonging to the feet she shows us, crossed by a broidered strap of Lydian work, would it have been as beautiful unveiled as imagined? Did she long for maidenhood? Why did the swallow trouble her? And what did the daughter of Cyprus say to her in a dream? There is not a fragment of Sappho that is not surrounded in the mind of the reader by the rainbow of suggestion. Just as the gods draped the human form to give desire imagination, so, perhaps, some god and no fate has all but hidden the mind of Sappho. 3. Looking at it in another way, one might fancy that all the demons of malignity and destruction had conspired to destroy and traduce, to destroy the works and traduce the character of the poet. The game of defamation was begun in Athens in the age of corruption by lepers, and carried on through the succeeding ages by their kind, till Welker came with his torch and showed these gibbering ghosts standing on nothing and with nothing in their hands. Colonel Muir tried to put Welker's torch out, and only burned his fingers. Comparetti snuffed it, only to make it burn the brighter. But, bright or dim, the torch was only intended to show the lepers. Sappho shines by her own light in the minutest fragments of her that remain. Fragments whose deathless energy, like the energy of radium, has vivified literature in all ages and times. 4. The mind of Sappho runs through all literature like a spangled thread. Foreword. Tear the red rose to pieces if you will. The soul that is the rose you may not kill. Destroy the page you may, but not the words that share eternal life with flowers and birds. And the least words of Sappho, let them fall. Cast away you will, some bird will rise and call. Some flower unfold in some forsaken spot, hill hyacinth, or blue forget-me-not. One. Hymn to Aphrodite. Daughter of Zeus and immortal, Aphrodite, serene weaver of spells at thy portal, hear me, and slay not, O queen. As in the past, hither to me, from thy far palace of gold, drawn by the doves that o'erflew me, come as thou earnest of old. Swiftly thy flock bore thee hither, smiling as turned I to thee. Spoke thou across the blue weather, Sappho, why callest thou me? Sappho, what beauty disdains thee? Sappho, who wrongest thine heart? Sappho, what evil now pains thee? Whence sped the dart? Flies from thee, soon she shall follow. Turns from thee, soon she shall love. Seeking thee, swift as the swallow, ingrate though now she may prove. Come, once again to release me, join with my fire thy fire. Freed from the torments that seize me, give me, O queen, my desire. 2. Ode to Anactoria. That man, whoever he may be, who sits a while to gaze on thee, hearing thy lovely laugh, thy speech, throned with the gods he seems to me. For when a moment to mine eyes thy form discloses, silently, I stand consumed with fires that rise like flames around a sacrifice. Sight have I none. Bells out of tune ring in mine ears, my tongue lies dumb. Paler than grass in later June, yet daring all, to thee I come. 3. Where blooms the myrtle? O Muse, upon thy golden throne, far in the azure, fair alone. Sing what the Teian sweetly sang, the Teian sage whose lineage sprang, where blooms the myrtle in the gay, land of fair women far away.